critical mass.
I think that is the point of no return almost, in that in the realm of nuclear physics, am I right? If I'm wrong, please correct me, I'm not a physicist. But if it reaches that point, it's kind of like no return. Everything goes up in smoke and fire. And the Holy Place Church, I don't know, maybe some of you get mad at me, I don't know. Don't sit down, please. I'm not ready to start going yet. This is a prophetic word. Some of you who have been under this word for many years, you've been under the tutor of this word, and the word that you're under is a prophetic word. Because it's not, when you heard it, it was prophesying to you that you were coming into a time frame that you had not yet come into.
Mm.
Hallelujah. And it is a prophetic word for you concerning the place that you were in and the place that you were to come to, the thing that was supposed to happen. Unfortunately, we as a people, and I'm not saying you, so, you know, if I point my finger at you, I got four of them coming back at me. We as a people have not facilitated that word in our circumstances. On the contrary, we have allowed our circumstances to take control over our lives. And now those circumstances now dictate to us what we do or we don't do. So this word, this song, this word is a prophetic word, because a lot of our circumstances is like that grave that we are singing in. It is like that position of captivity. If nothing else, captive within the own aspect of our mortal immorality of perfection. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And there is a need for us to, first of all, recognize the position that we are in. And then the second thing is that we need to repent as individuals and as a people concerning our lack of interest in promoting the development of this word within us, individually as well as collectively. So it says, "Oh death, what is it?" Somebody want to put it back up there so I can see it. "My soul doth magnify the Lord." The first thing you're going to do is start rejoicing.
That's it.
You're going to start thinking about the omnipotent power that is in God. Not according to your environment that is external, but according to your environment that is internal.
Yes. That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is He Lord over that? Or is your circumstances, or is the circumstances, is He just another God? Hallelujah. Is He another God of religion? Is He another God of theology? Or is He a God of circumstances? Is He a God of your circumstances? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have to have that reality. If we don't have that reality, then as you pray it, as you sing it, you need to pray it. Lord, I don't understand that position. My soul is not really magnifying You. It is not really exalting You in the midst of my circumstances. It could be job, it could be the financial pressure that is upon you, it could be your children, it could be your marriage, whatever it may be. Are you magnifying the Lord in the midst of that situation? Are you allowing the situation to damper that magnification of God? Hallelujah. This all has to deal with internal environment. This all has to deal with your soul. This all has to deal with overcoming. Hallelujah. And we are supposed to be overcomers. We're 7 times to 7 churches, 7 messages to the body of Christ. He that overcometh what? Hallelujah. I will do this, and I will do that, and I will assure this, and I will recognize this, and I will proclaim this. 7 times. We have the theology of perfection, but we're not practicing it. Hallelujah. Says, "My spirit praises His name." You know, my spirit is kind of in a position or a place of of confinement with God, when I am baptized in the Holy Spirit, my spirit is supposed to be in fellowship with that spirit in such a manner, in such a fashion, that there is a oneness. There's a oneness in that relationship. I cannot allow that spirit not to be intermingling with my spirit. Hallelujah. And I can only come to that position of my spirit praises His name if I am facilitating that position of relationship. You know, it's all about relationship. I know I'm going to probably sound like a broken record, but that's the problem with the church. It's relationship with God, not relationship with each other. You can't have a horizontal relationship unless you have a vertical relationship. The Bible says, pure heart and a clean hands and a pure heart. I can have clean hands is indicative of my horizontal relationship with you and you with me. Hallelujah. My heart is something that is in relationship with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This song is a prophetic nature. A man died to get this song. And I don't know what his wife and children suffered. Hello? Hallelujah. So you can't sing it like another song. You can't sing it like something that you are used to or accustomed to that becomes familiar to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This for death. Hallelujah. Could not hold him captive. You know, Brother Abba now is in that great cloud of witnesses. And I can almost say with a certain reality that he's with that host, that heavenly host, that is looking at you. You see, there were certain things in his life that he did not overcome. There were certain aspects of his character that he was not able to put aside. There was something of the nature of his nativity. Hello? That held him in a place of bondage. He's looking to each one of you, looking to see who it is that he can see that will give him the key to his perfection. Hello? Hebrews says in 10:39, he says, they without us, what? Cannot be made perfect. So perfection is something that I have to be working on. My God, and I need so much help. Hallelujah. Because when I look in the mirror, I see total, absolute, abject imperfection. Hallelujah. And this, he says, for death cannot hold. You should just substitute me. Hallelujah. You should just substitute me. Death cannot hold me captive. Do I believe it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. When I'm confronted with myself, when I'm confronted with my neighbor, when I'm confronted with my family, do I believe it? Hallelujah. And I react in the wrong way. I say the wrong thing. I move in the wrong way. I behave in a manner that is contrary to the reality of that perfection. Hello? Are you there? Hallelujah. And you know what? It demands change. Why are you sitting down? You know, there used to be a rule, if a man older than you was in your midst, you wouldn't sit down in his presence. I don't think there's anyone here, I don't think, that is older than me. Hallelujah. Maybe, but I doubt it. Hallelujah. 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 Because you start out with my. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what? We are to be joint heirs with Christ.
Yes.
We are to be joint heirs.
Hallelujah.
We are to be joint heirs. Hallelujah. So I can just as well say, death cannot hold me captive. Even in this grave. What is your grave? Is it your circumstances? Is it your job? Is it your financial responsibilities? Is it your position or place of education? Young people? Hallelujah. Always wanting to better yourself, climb higher, higher in the social ladder of success. It's temporary. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it's going to be gone. Hallelujah. And it's not up to your decision as to when it goes. It says if the man was wise, he would have been watching and waiting for the thief to enter in his house. And what happened? He wasn't watching and waiting. He got robbed. Hello? Hallelujah. It's not talking about a man in a natural house. It's not talking about the goods or the possessions that you have in that house, or even how much money you have in your bank account. Hello? Hallelujah. Which is all a deception anyway. Hallelujah. It says, even in my grave. What is your grave? I know what my grave is. Hallelujah. He's a man called Brother Birch. Hallelujah. Who's encapsulated in this flesh. Hallelujah. And it is necessary for God to move in my set of circumstances, but I have a responsibility to inquire of God, to press God, to touch God, to push God, to push God, to push God. And I have a responsibility to die to myself. That's my responsibility. A lot of people want to kill me, maybe, but it's my responsibility to die.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know. I had a dream this morning. I was woken out of my sleep. A short dream as I was there in my bed and some young men came bursting into my room. They broke into my room. And I knew when they broke in, it startled me. And I woke up, but when I knew they were there, they were to kidnap me. Hello? Hallelujah. But death, but even in the grave, Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We have a responsibility, not to each other, to God. There's an expectation that God has of you. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, I see you, brother, with a road laid out before you. There is a calling, there's an election upon your life. God has been pursuing you for a long time. And now He's got a hold of you. Hallelujah. And I see you in a roller coaster. It's going around and down and up and around and down, and it looks very scary, but it is the will of God, and He's going to be with you, because the work that He's going to do in you is going to be a quick work.
Amen.
I don't know who you are.
Thank you.
I don't know who you are. I don't think I've ever met you before. But I see you in the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And if you're serious with God, He's got to do something traumatic. Do you hear me? Traumatic.
Yes,
traumatic.
Yes.
You don't like tribulation. You don't like trouble. You like to leave a little bit of wind here and there. But brethren, I'm telling you, you are supposed to be tribulation people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the tribulation is strengthening you, and it's strengthening you.
Amen.
It's building a character in you that is different than the character that you were born with. Because what you were born with in the way of God, it was born again of another source. Hallelujah. And you have a responsibility, not just to each other, but you have a responsibility for the people that God is going to bring unto you, that you might tutor them and nurture them and then send them loose.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The problem is we don't want to turn loose. We don't want to turn loose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we have to turn loose. You know, I have children. I have grandchildren. And they grow up. And there comes a point I got to take my hands off of them physically. You understand? Hallelujah. That doesn't mean I'm alleviate my spiritual responsibility. I found out I can do more in my prayer closet than I can with my children in a forceful way of overshadowing them and demanding that they adhere to what I'm saying. Hallelujah. You know what? And every time God disciplines, it hurts me. You know, my mother used to say, "This is going to hurt me worse than it's hurt you." And I said, "Oh yeah, big deal." But I'm finding out the reality of it.
Amen.
Because when God touches your children, you want to run right in there and cuddle them and hold them and pet them and do all the things. But there comes a point in time when they have to feel the belt of the Lord upon their backside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And you know what? We as godly parents who desire our children to be further on than what we are will have the reality that this is the time to take our hands off. Hallelujah. That is if we're really desiring the will of God for them. What is your grave? What is your grave? Hallelujah. So let us sing this song. Let us sing it in a prophetic way. And you need to kind of kick it up a little bit.
Okay, sir. I'll do that.
Hallelujah.
Do that.
Because it really is a victory song.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, young man, I see you standing in tattered clothes. There's a scripture that comes to me, and it's found in one of the, what they call the minor prophets. I don't know why they call them minor. Hallelujah. And it was concerning a priest. What was his name?
Joshua.
And he was standing in filthy rags. But there was a visitation that God brought to that young man. Hallelujah. And there was an exchange that was going on. Hallelujah. He said, take away from him those tattered and filthy garments. Hallelujah. And they're going to anoint your eyes that you might see. But this is dependent upon one thing. It's dependent upon your desire for God. Hallelujah. If you desire God more than you desire anything else. Hallelujah. You're going to see God open the scripture to you. By the way, that can be a trap in itself. Hallelujah. For the word of God cannot just be inherently given. It has to be confirmed. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we need to understand what we're singing. And you need to be singing it as though it was your life that depended upon it. Because quite frankly, I think it does. Hallelujah. There's coming a new direction for you and your husband. Where is he? I don't see him. Hallelujah. There's coming a new direction. A new direction, and you need to be sensitive in the spirit concerning it. Because in the beginning, it's going to seem as though it's not really what you would think the Lord would want you to do. But you can't make a snap decision. You can't make an impulse thought in the action of it. You've got to take time. You and your husband and you. Right. Hallelujah. Right. As you look at it, as you put it on the altar before the Lord, and it's going to take some fasting and prayer. But I'm going to tell you, that decision is instrumental as to where it is you're going to wind up at the end of the day. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about a situation that is, oh, this is going to prosper us and we can prosper the work of God. I'm not talking about that. Because it may seem something totally opposite than that. Hello? Or it may look good, but it is not good. Because you see, the devil comes with a counterfeit. He knows what the plan of God is better than what you know sometimes. And it's going to take a careful consideration of you and your husband. Hallelujah. And you need to involve your children in it because it's going to affect them. And you need to be sitting down with them and praying with them and counseling with them concerning that decision. Hello? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a deliverance coming for you, dear. Hallelujah. Whatever your situation is, circumstantially, there's a deliverance coming for you. God is moving in your circumstance, in your life, to bring you to a place as it, I see it as a wide open field of lush green grass, freedom and liberty. Hallelujah. Freedom and liberty in your soul. Freedom and liberty in your mind. Freedom and liberty in your emotion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing the song. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And my spirit praises me. For death took my whole name captive. No, even in the grave, my Jesus is Lord. For death could not hold him captive. No, even in the grave, my Jesus is Lord. magnify the Lord. And my spirit praise His name. For death could now hold me captive. No, even in my grave, my Jesus is Lord. For death could now hold me captive. By the Lord, and my spirit praise His name. For death could not hold me captive, nor even in the grave. My Jesus is Lord. For death could not hold me captive, nor even in my grave. My Jesus is Lord. By the Lord, and my spirit praises Him. For death could not hold me captive, though even in my grave, my Jesus is Lord. For death could not hold me captive, not even in my grave. My Jesus is Lord. My soul does magnify the Lord. And my spirit praise His name. For death cannot hold me captive, Lord, even in the grave. My Jesus is Lord. For death could not hold me captive, even in my grave, my Jesus is Lord.
I want to sing it without the music, the piano. I want you to be the music. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you to be the offering.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let our voices be the offering unto God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So singers, sing.
My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit praise His name. For death could not hold me captive, no, even in the grave. My Jesus is Lord. For death could not hold me captive, not even in my grave. My Jesus is Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord.
And my spirit
praise His name. For death could not hold me captive, no, even in my grave. My Jesus is Lord. No, even in my grave, my Jesus is Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord,
and my spirit
praise His name. For death cannot hold me captive, no, even in the grave, my Jesus is Lord. Not even in my grave, my Jesus is Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit it praises His name. For death cannot hold me captive, not even in the grave, my Jesus is Lord. Not even in my grave, my Jesus is Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. I want you to prophesy to each other. I want you to say, our soul doth magnify the Lord,
the Lord Jesus.
And our spirit praises your name. Hello? Did you hear it? Not third person. I don't know if that's third person. But in the actuality of him being here, do you think he's here?
Yes, he is.
Amen. Praises your name, for death can
never
hold you
captive.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
We're going to prophesy to each other.
Yes, sir.
I want you to turn around to your neighbor. I want you to turn, not just your husband and your wife. If that's the critical mass, then you have to deal with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we're going to sing it and prophesy. Hallelujah. Yes.
This glory. This hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This.
Come on, boys, prophesy to each other. Prophesy. Oh yes. Hallelujah! 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 All right. All right, we're going to sing it. Now remember, we're going to sing it. And as we're singing it, you've got to sing it to each other. Our soul doth magnify the Lord, and our spirit praise your name. Hallelujah. For death can never hold us captive. Hello? Even in our praise, hallelujah, Yeshua is Lord. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to sing it. Praise the Lord. And you're going to sing it to each other. You're going to serenade everybody. Praise the Lord.
Our soul does magnify the Lord, and our spirit praise your name. For death could not hold you captive, nor even in the grave. Our Jesus is Lord. For death will not hold us captive, nor even in our grave. Our Jesus is Lord. By the Lord.
Make one little change. Death is not a word that describes something. Death is a noun. And it's death, you can never hold us captive. Hallelujah. Bible says that death is the last enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we are living in the time that power of authority is to be given to a people who will have the power to overcome that entity, that spirit of death. So it's death. You can never hold us captive. Even in the grave, Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Come on, say it like you mean it.
Amen.
Say it like you mean it.
Amen.
Say it like you mean it.
Amen.
Magnify the Lord, and our spirit praises Him. For yet could never hold us captive, or even in our grave, our Jesus is Lord. For death could never hold us captive, nor even in our grave, our Jesus.
Where's Ruby? She had a vision. I want her to share it. Where'd she go? Don't hide, dear. Just come up here. Hallelujah. No, you can keep standing. Don't sit yet. It'd be terrible if you had to stand the whole time I'm preaching, wouldn't it?
When we're singing the song, I was standing back and I just saw like a volcano erupting.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
She's talking about you, you know. This is not just something she's seeing. There is a perfect... Come on, brethren, don't you understand that Jesus, where the presence of Jesus is, it says that what? All prophecy is evidence of the what? Didn't it say that somewhere in the scripture? Huh? Is a testimony. Testimony. Yes, testimony of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So that eruption is speaking about you.
Yes.
Do you hear me? It's speaking about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I see like a veil has been over you. And God is delivering you.
Yes.
He's delivering you from that veil of depression. And the feeling sometimes of loneliness and loss that comes over you like a blanket and just wants to smother you, wants to bring you into that place of abject hopelessness. I see it being split. I see it being split. I see it being split. Hallelujah. Father, we come by the blood of Jesus Christ to minister to our sister. Father, we rebuke this thing.
Amen.
We come against it with the blood of Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, that you move in a miraculous manner.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, let that joy, let that joy bubble up. Let that well be unstopped. My God, that source of joy. My God, in the name of Jesus, heal, 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 heal. Heal our mind, heal our emotions. Oh yes, in the name of Jesus. I see the oil of God being poured over you, dear. Poured over you, poured over you. Hallelujah, God is doing a work in your mind. God is doing a work in your soul. And He's giving to you the spirit that you will be able to forgive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not just man, but God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Boy, is it dissipating that quickly?
No.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
17. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I was in a meeting, maybe 6 or 7 years ago in the States. And I was in the midst of a meeting of overcomers. In fact, they were one of the original groups that this word of overcoming came to, this apostolic word came to in the United States. And that was really kind of prior to it, till Brother Jaseel brought it here. Now, I'm not saying that you did not have it before that, because I was corrected once and I want to heed my correction. Hallelujah. Paul Elton was here. He was ministering to you some of the outline of it. But Paul Elton, in his own right, he says, I don't have the answers to your questions. But he said there was a man that was coming after him who could be answering all of your questions. And if you don't believe that, you ought to ask some of those that were here when Paul Elton was here. Anybody here, raise your hand. That was under the ministry of Paul Elton. Hallelujah. Well, there's a few here. You can check with them to see whether or not my facts are correct. Hallelujah. But I think they are. We have been committed a particular word for a particular purpose. You know, I have been spending much time in one of the African countries where that they are very theologically orientated. They are very religious in their thoughts, in their actions. They are ensnared. They are ensnared in their religiosity and their doctrines, and they are slaves to the denominational spirits. And you know, I have met many good men, pastors, praise the Lord. In fact, for the last 5 years, principally, I've been dealing with pastors. And I think I have been in every church that is imaginable. Hallelujah. Every denominational setting, every aspect of religiousness that you can have. I was even in a Catholic church. Praise the Lord. I don't really consider them a church. Hallelujah. And and you know, one of the things, as difficult as the surroundings was, the one thing that blessed me immensely, is that these people, some of them in religion for 40 years, 45 years, maybe 50 years. Hallelujah. They have never heard a word like you have. They have never heard the concept of God's desire to communicate with His people. He never had the thought of how God wants to walk and talk within a people. Hallelujah. They were bound in their traditional aspect of setting as far as their tribal associations were concerned. They were bound in their religious thinking and the pastoral spirit. Hallelujah. You know, there has never been a group yet that has collected, even under this word, that has overcome that position or that spirit. That spirit has yet to be overcome, Brother Tukumba. Hallelujah. That spirit has yet to be put down. Not by just one individual, but by a collective body of people that can move together, like my body moves in association with my head. Hallelujah. You know, I'm so glad I got medical assistance. Hallelujah. Because they understand the reality of what I'm speaking. I don't consciously think about moving an arm. I don't consciously think about a reaction or something that happens in my environment that needs or requires a response for me. My head looks at it, it examines it, and in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it makes a decision of what to do, and it sends the message to the different parts of the body. And you know what? It sometimes takes my left hand and my right hand to coordinate together in order to operate. I don't consciously think about it. I don't have a shoulder committee. Hallelujah. And an elbow committee or a wrist committee. And you know what? We change the titles. We change them from pastors to elders. Or we change them from pastors to overseers. Hallelujah. But the spirit of that pastoral position of preeminence is still there. And it's not just a pastoral thing. It is a malady that was bequeathed to us by reason of the capitulation of humanity through Adam and Eve. Because one of the things that the devil said to Eve is that ye shall be as God. Hello? He took a tour, he took a truth, and he twisted it. Because he made it an individual right. He made it an individual position of independence. That you have the to be your own person, your own man, your own woman, your own life, your own aspect of life and liberty. Hallelujah. And the pursuit of happiness. You know, I'm very fortunate to be born in the United States because my familiar spirits are very well lined out in the Constitution of the United States. Hello? Hallelujah. I don't know if you're as fortunate as I am. I can look at that. We the people of equality. Oh, praise the Lord. It sounds good, doesn't it? Hello? Hallelujah. But it's a right of independence. I have a right. You know, I have a right. I have a right. I have a position, an inherital right by virtue of where I was born to be independent. My father used to say, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. And basically he did. Hello, he did. He did. He pulled him up by his bootstraps. But he had mom praying for him. He didn't have anything to say about that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have been bequeathed the word. We have been given a thought. We have been given a concept. And that thought, that concept has a goal. We call a timeless God, an eternal God, we call Him Alpha, which means this, He has a beginning. How does an eternal God who has no beginning have a beginning? We call Him Alpha. You have a song. I learned it here with you people. I am the what? Alpha and Omega. Hello? Omega, that's another mystery of God, isn't it? A God that has no end has an end. Hallelujah. We miss the point. We sing this, that I am Alpha and Omega, however it goes. How does it go? Tell me how it goes.
Alpha and Omega, we worship you, O God. You are worthy to be.
All right, do you know what you're singing? Do you know what you're singing? Do you know what you're prophesying? You're not talking about God, you're talking about yourself. Hello? Alpha means there's a beginning of something. Well, we know there's no beginning of God, but there's a beginning of time. Hello? And time was not created for the purpose of God. The purpose of God was that God created time for the purpose of us, so that He could recreate us as time beings. But there's an end of time, which means that there's a process that God is wanting to bring to fruition in the amount of time that He has given us as a people. Hello? Are you there? So you're singing something you don't even know what you're singing. Hello? But you know, in some respects, it really doesn't make any difference because you have the blood of Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit is moving through you to give you the verbal utterance to begin to prophesy to your own situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, this whole book is nothing but prophecy. Did you know that? And it's not written with the ink of a stylus by a man. It's written in the lives of people by blood. God took a man by the name of Adam and used him as a stylus. God took a woman by the name of Eve and used her as a stylus. Did you hear me? To pin the words of chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. Hello? Hallelujah. You could say it was written by God, but it was the pen of Adam and Eve that was writing it. Hello? Come on. Are you there? Hallelujah. And they're not dead. They're alive. Hello? Hallelujah. They're not dead. They're alive. And you know what? They're looking to you. They're looking to me to finish the job. They're not yet finished. They're not yet finished. You have the responsibility, dear. You have it. You, in your circumstance. You have the responsibility to show them what it is that they had to do that they didn't do, so that what they have now can be changed into something that is more perfect. Hello? And we're coming to the end of time. Sometimes we're more concerned with the reflection in the natural mirror. Huh? Oh yes, the clothes we wear, the jewelry we put on, both men and women, by the way. the perfume that we wear. Hello? Both men and women, not just women. Huh? Hello? Everything in this world is designed to subvert, divert, and to bring the word that God has given you to no effect. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible says about the world? Hello? Romans? Huh? It says, friendship. Oh, you know the scripture. You know the scripture. Friendship what? Is what? So then why are we shaking hands with the world? Why are we hugging the world? Why are we walking with the world? Why are we doing the things that the world does? Hello? Hallelujah. Not only in the things that we do on the external, but the things that we do on the internal. Hello? We look and we think and we move in accordance to the dictates of the world. Hello? When I was a young man and I came into this word, I was about 23 years old. Hallelujah. That was a long time ago. By some of your calculations, not mine, it was just yesterday. Hallelujah. But when I came into this world, there was something that was happening inside of my soul. Unity. Hallelujah. I went. Had to get rid of the horses. Hello? Praise the Lord. Does that mean I don't like to ride horses? Absolutely not. But I don't, haven't been on one and I in 30 some years. Hello? Hello? There is something that is required of me. There's something that is required of the aspect of where it is. A man comes along to me and he says to me, he says, Brother Bird, I want you to travel with me. Good, me travel with you? I'm comfortable out there in the country. I'm comfortable with my lifestyle. I got children. I have wife. I have children. I'm comfortable. I have responsibilities. He says, you pray about it. Hallelujah. And as he began to pray, you know, he did not make an offer. He says, I'll pay your ticket. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. Hallelujah. I got three little babies. Hello? And I'm working a job that is far below what some of you are making as young people, if you're working. If you're working. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he said, I want you to travel with you. And so I began to pray and I began to ask God, what is it that you want me to do? And he didn't answer me. And I said again, God, what do you want me to do? And he didn't answer me. Hello? You know why? It was already predetermined and I knew that he knew that he knew that I knew. And I was just trying to create an excuse not to go. Hello? Hallelujah. So I had to pack my bag and I had to go. Praise the Lord. And you don't have any idea how traumatic that is for me as an individual. I was not that type of person. Hello? There is something required. There's an expense that is being demanded of me. And it doesn't make any difference if my pocket is empty. Hello? Empty, empty, empty. Because every time God moves in some way, some manner, somehow He brings me what I need. No. Don't go to think that He's just pouring money out on me. No. I have something they call a credit card. Huh? That's all I have is a credit card. That's all I have. That's all I have, do you hear me, is a credit card. And for years, that's all I use. And my debt kept getting bigger, 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 bigger. But I kept going, 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 going. Because it was the word of God to me to go. Hello? Do you think that you are going to get what God wants to give you without a cost? Sister Mavis said to me one day, you know, Brother Bert, salvation is free. Take it, run with it, but be sure you know you have to pay for everything else. I thank God for that counsel. I thank God for that counsel. You know, Brother Ducey came to me one day and he says, Brother Bert, he says, this is really, no, he's not, he doesn't know what my, well, he did a little bit, I suppose, what my situation may have been. And he says, you know, Brother Bert, it's a shame that the church has to wait until it has the means to do what God wants them to do instead of doing it and then letting God move to bring the means. If you have the Word of God. Hello? Oh, it's important for you to have the Word of God. It's important for you to have the Word of God. And that Word has to be confirmed in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. Oh, I got the Word of God, and out the door I run. And I run right into a wall. Hallelujah. I cannot even count the number of times that that God intervened in my life, saving my life because of the counsel that is around me. Hallelujah. You know, one day I'm down there in the tip of India, down there at Nandigarh. You know that is where most of the witchcraft began. Hello? Most of this, you think that this ninja stuff, what do they call it? Karate or whatever it is, kung fu, fu kung or what? I always call it kung fu. Huh? Hallelujah. That's all stuff was exported from down there in that tip, down there by Nagarkoil, Coil, down on there. That's where a lot of this occult business started. Hello? Hallelujah. One day, we're down there as missionaries, right? We're going to save the world. Huh? Oh yes, me and some other brothers were down there. One morning a brother had a dream. And in the dream, you know what the dream said? Run! I want to tell you, we ran. And it's not easy running in India. This was 20-some years ago. It's not easy running in India. You got to get on a train. We flew into Madras. It was Madras at that time. I think it's what? Chennai now or something like that. Sounds a little like China, doesn't it? Anyway, it was Chennai or Madras. It was called Madras at that time. Hallelujah. And our tickets were out of Madras. But you know, we found out that they had an office there in Nagarkoil Coil that could fly us from there to Madras to catch our plane and out. And you know, it was inexpensive considering the emergency. I don't know how you compare price, but when I put my life on the line, any price to get me out that I'm able to pay is cheap. It's cheap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have to understand, we have to know what it is. What do you hope to gain by virtue of the word that has been committed to you? Hello? Hallelujah. What do you hope to gain? Well, if it's outside of the scope, if it's outside of the prescribed aspect of what was in God's mind in the beginning, then you're in trouble. When you say Alpha, you're talking about God in the beginning of time when He created man for a particular reason. So every time you say Alpha, you're prophesying Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Hello? You say Alpha. It says in the beginning. He says, let us. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Let us. You know, the word for God is it, and God said, that word God is Elohim, which is a plurality of God. But in the way that it's translated, it's a plurality of God moving without knowledge of the aspect of their plurality. They're moving in unity, and they're moving in a position or a place of creative power to do something and having an objective to do. But in verse 26, He is very specific. He comes down to that verse and He says, let us. Hello? Hallelujah. Why? Because every aspect of the Godhead had a position of responsibility for the construction of and the development of the Word that God was now going to God was going to prophesy to Adam and Eve and their progeny. He said what? Take dominion and subdue. Be fruitful. Multiply. Not physically. Come on, brethren. This was a man and a woman who had a destiny that was eternal. They were living souls. Hallelujah. He wasn't talking, brother, about their natural surroundings. Hello? Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, I'm not a question and answer man. I'll leave that for Brother Chijoki. I'm not a question and answer man. What you need to do is you need to go to God. And you need to ask God, what is Brother Bird saying to us? Is it true or is it just him ranting and raving? Huh? Hallelujah. You know, you young people, there are calling in elections upon your life. You know what? We were sitting around this morning discussing something about the children. And you know what? I think we have a wrong perspective. Forgive me. Praise the Lord. Please forgive me. I'll just ask your forgiveness right now. It says, unless we become as little children. Hello? Lest we become as little children. We what? Hallelujah. We will not be able to enter into the kingdom of God. So there is a childlikeness. Hallelujah. That these precious young ones have, and we are not utilizing it. We're not taking advantage of it. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, when my children were born, there was a revelation that came to me, came to my wife and I concerning the position of homeschooling. When my children were growing up, homeschooling was illegal. They would arrest you, they would take your children away from you, and they would put them in a foster home until they determined that you were fit parents. And they would do it only on a qualification, is if you send your children to school. We made a decision. Hallelujah. Because my oldest son, about 44 years ago. Huh? Hallelujah. 44 years ago. It was unheard of. Hello? And we had to dig to find the ability. We weren't school teachers. We weren't scholars. We weren't educated. I never got past the first year of college. I went in the army. I flunked out. Hello? Hallelujah. How's that for me standing up talking to you? Huh? Come on! Hello? And you know, that was one of the things that blew me away when I first came to Nigeria. Hallelujah. It blew me away. I had a biophysicist doing my laundry. Come on! Hello? I just barely got through high school by the skin of my teeth. Hello? That's what my mother always told me anyway. And mother, I am finding out, was a very, very smart woman. It's too late that I find it out now. I should have been better off if I would have found it out then. Hallelujah. You young people who think your parents are dumber than you, are going to wake up before too long to find out they are some of the smartest people in the whole wide world. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yes. And you know what? We don't teach our children to respect us. We don't. It's evident. I seen a little 2 or 3 year old turn around and slug his mom. I just wanted to grab that little child and lift him up and shake his teeth till he rattled. She just patted him on the head and says, "Oh, little baby, baby, baby." I would have picked him up and put him over my knee and said, "Baby, baby, baby." Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it says, "He whom the Lord loveth." Okay, so why don't we chastise our children when they are disobedient? This child should call you with reverence and respect. Should teach you. You should teach them how to respect and to love their mother. And you should teach them how to respect and love their dad. And if they ever raise a hand or a voice against them, and you're a witness to it, my goodness, you should take them in the back room and apply Bible. Hallelujah. And it's a inherited problem as far as your African, not just Nigerian, it's African. Hello. And it's worse today than it was 40 years ago. Hello. Because there is a spirit of lawlessness. It says children shall rise up against parents. Hello. So the devil is going to use your children to bring discontent and confusion into your home. And you know what? When I have how many do I have? I have 7 children, and I have, I think, 21. It could be now 22, or it could be 23. I'm not quite sure. One's on the way. Hallelujah. I have, I'll just say, 23 grandchildren, one coming. All right? 23. I'm pretty close there. Hallelujah. And I as a grandparent, have a responsibility. You see, it says that inheritance of a man does not go to his children. It goes to his grandchildren. So I have grandchildren. And I have an inheritance. Oh, no money in the bank. Forget that, kids. No car to give you. No property to give you. I got rid of that a long time ago. Hallelujah. And if you want my car, you got to fix it before you can use it. Oh, yes, they're driving now. Some of them are driving. Dad, Granddad, can I have your car? Yes, take this, go down and change the oil and make sure it's running right. And then you can have the keys. Hallelujah. Oh, do I have to? Have you ever heard that before? Oh, do I have to? Or just, no! My God. Hallelujah. You know, I was in a house in a country one time, and I'm very familiar with this family. And I had a liberty. And I'm sitting at the table, and the little boy is there, and the mother's off somewhere in the house doing housework. And that little boy is being rambunctious, and he's throwing his food on the floor. And I look at the little young man. I said, young man, if you do that again, I'm going to take you out of that chair, and I'm going to make sure you know that you never will want to do it again. Huh? What did he do? He threw the food at me. I just reached across the table, pulled him out of that high chair, lifted him up. You know, there's something very intimidating about that. Huh? Hallelujah. Very intimidating. They're totally at your mercy, totally at your control. And I just brought him right down to my face, right nose to nose. And I said, young man, if you do that ever again, it will be the last time you ever do it. And then I set him gently back in the chair. Huh? Do you know that young man grew up with a very healthy respect for me? One time, that's all it. It wasn't mean, it wasn't malicious, it wasn't angry, it was just firm, resolute, and he knew that I meant business. Hallelujah. The mother told me later, she said, I heard it, but I wasn't coming in there. I said, good for you, so I'm not in trouble with you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So there's a position, or there's a place of discipline. You know, I was sitting in my living room in Ethiopia, and in 2012, and God said, go after the children. Hallelujah. He said, go after the children. And I knew that it was God, and I was sitting there, and I said to Brother Jamal, there was an orphanage that we knew that we wanted to get in. I said, call up the director and find out if we can come in. It's an orphanage. They have about 250 to 350 orphans that are living, very well-run, organized place. But the devil got in there. Hallelujah. But why? Because he knew we were coming. Hello? Hallelujah. But he said, go after the children. Now, this is what God is saying to me. Hello? But if God is saying it to me, I'm like a loudspeaker. Can you hear me? I'm like a loudspeaker in the midst of a congregation to say, God said, go after the children. Hello? Why? Because there is a spirit of lawlessness that wants to rob our children. You know what? We have this youth conference in Port Harcourt. We've had it for 3 years. Huh? Hallelujah. And it is mind-blowing. It is mind-blowing that your children are so involved in everything that is illegal righteously. Your children. Maybe not all of your children. Maybe some of you are doing better now. Hallelujah. But I don't know. Sometimes the same one keeps coming up year after year after year for prayer. Hello? When they should be at a point now that they can pray for each other. Hello? And you know something? These young people need to be carrying the word. They need to be going out and evangelizing. Not just winning souls. If you win a soul, where are you going to take him? What are you going to bring him into? What are you going to introduce him to? Are you going to disciple him unto your position of personality? Hello? Are you going to disciple him unto Christ? You know, I tell these people that I'm in these different kinds. I said, I may never come back. I may never see your face again. And sometimes I don't. Hello? But I says, I have a responsibility, I have an obligation to tell you the truth. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not too many amen, some. Hallelujah. I told you, they all had the good news. Hallelujah. But I think my news is good news. If I see you heading down a road and I see destruction coming and you don't see that destruction and I hold my peace, I'm going to have your blood on my hands. By God's grace, I'm not going to have your blood. Hallelujah. And if you think I water down my gospel when I go into a church, hello? Hallelujah. I just this last time I was there in Nazareth, I turned around to the pastor and I said to you, brother, you're not supposed to be making your living off the people. Hallelujah. It's not an occupation. Hello? Preaching and teaching and prophesying and ministering to me. It's not an occupation. It's not an occupation. It's not an occupation by which I should be making my living. It's an investment. I'm pouring out of myself into these situations for a spiritual return, for a spiritual inheritance. God, Paul said, I have a crown laid up for me in heaven. How did he get that crown? How did he get it, Brother Tony? Hallelujah. Got it in the dungeon in Rome. He got it in the dungeon over there and the other places that he was. If he wasn't in the dungeon, we would have never had the New Testament. Hallelujah. How would you like that to write a book? You have to be incarcerated. You have to be put in jail in order to write a book. Paul had no idea that the book and the things that he was going to pen, God was going to take them. So he was using Paul's life. One of the churches, I think it was the Galatian church, was ashamed of him. They begin to call him a jailbird. Huh? And he wrote back and said, brethren, I'm not ashamed of my bonds. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of my afflictions. I'm not ashamed of the lashes that I have on my back. He says they are testimonies. They are trophies that I have. And they are part of that crown that I have laid up in heaven for myself. Every stripe on his back, every time that lash came down on his back, and all he could think about is the soul of the man that was whipping him. Not the fact that the man was mean and malicious. He was praying for the man's soul, I can guarantee you. Paul was in a different realm. Paul was in a different place. Why? Because of a word that God had given him. That word that we now are part of, that word that now comes to us by virtue of those epistles that he wrote. And the aspect of the Holy Spirit that works to bring an interpretation of it. Hallelujah. When Brother Chijoki gets up and starts teaching, I have to concentrate. I have to concentrate and I have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because I just don't want to know what He knows. Hello? I don't want to just know what He knows. I want to know something in it that God can speak to me. I want a personal revelation. I don't want a question to ask him. I want a personal revelation. I don't want to get my understanding from Brother Chijoki. Not that he doesn't have a godly understanding. I'm not saying that. But I have the privilege of getting my own understanding concerning it. And it is a confirmation to what it is that he's saying. And I can say, yes, that's the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? We're too church orientated. We come in, and I always ask, is there Bibles? How many of you got Bibles? Huh? And that's another thing. We go into Ethiopia, and maybe they don't have the means to do it, or they don't have the wherewithal to get it. I always ask, how many of you have Bibles? I want to see them. Hold them up. And if you get very good, he's listening. Hallelujah. And he's responding. Hallelujah. It's important. Hallelujah. I said, hold him up. And if 3%, I have a congregation of 150 people. Hello? One of the universities that we went at, there were 300 and some people packed in this little old mud hut. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, how many of you got Bibles? University students. Now, you would think of university students, they would have Bibles, right? Maybe a spattering would be 10, 15 maybe. Hallelujah. I don't know what percentage of that is, but it's really low. I said, okay, I want to see how many of you got cell phones. Everybody in the room had a cell phone. So that tells me lateral is important, horizontal is insignificant. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, there was another experience I had here recently as I was coming into a particular place. And God gave, you know, God just speaks to me through so many different ways. And some of those are really weird. Hallelujah. But as I got off the plane, there were some individuals who we were fellowshipping with who work for the UN. Usually I have a taxi man there that picks me up and takes me to where I want to go. But this time I had a UN delegation meeting me. And as they picked me and they're taking me out to the car, there's this big United Nations vehicle. Nice, shiny. All the accoutrements, air conditioning, power windows that work. Hallelujah. Tires with rubber on them. All the nicety things. And I'm thinking, oh, we're going to travel in Zion. But on the front of this thing is this big UN. And God speaks to me. I look at it and God speaks to me. He says, United in Difference. United in... He's not talking about the UN. He's talking about the church. United in Difference. Hallelujah. See, you, some of you, most of you who have children, grew up in an era of non-prosperity. You grew up and came out of an era of poverty. Your children have no idea of your life, the things that you suffered, you had to do and you had to fight, and the things to where it is. Not, and you know something? You should share that with your children. Not that you're trying to load, you know, my dad used to say, I used to walk 5 miles in the snow to go to school. Hallelujah. I don't mean in an overlording way. I mean that there is a history that you have to get to where you are to give them what they are now enjoying. Hello? Hallelujah. And there's one thing I really appreciated about my dad. He was not a Christian man, by the way. But he had some good principles. You don't work, you don't eat. He didn't know that what he was doing was scriptural. But Mom did. You don't work, you don't eat. That means I had chores to do. I had floors to clean. I had bathrooms to clean. I had dishes to wash. I had yards to mow. I had weeds to pull around about. I had to feed the dog. Hello? And if you don't do your chores, you didn't eat breakfast. Hello? 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 You know, it built a healthy respect in me for the aspect that I needed to work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't do that now. Everything is credit card, carte blanche. Hello? Oh, of course, I'm talking to the wrong people, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to our children. Hallelujah. And you know, it's not just to have another conference. Oh yes, conference is good. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together so you can hear the Word of God that propels, promotes, and motivates you to do something when you leave the conference. Something has to change. Something has to change. Something has to change. And you know, sometimes the only thing that we can change is the fact that we have to go to God to ask Him to change it. If you really desire to have it change. Hello? Hallelujah. You know why we're going to have great tribulation? Because we need something to push us. You know why you have tribulation? You know why you have sickness? You know why you have financial, economical, personality, conflicts and tribulation? Why? Because it's designed to push us. To push us. To push us, to push us, to push us to a position or a limit that we come to the realization that without God we are going to fail. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, something like me, a person like me, who has a reality of the message and the aspect of the seriousness, it is serious business for me. And the tolerance toward me is not going to be the same as the tolerance toward this young lady or this young lady or this young man or this young lady. Huh? Hallelujah. The tolerance toward me is not going to be the same, because unto whom much is given, what? Much is going to be required. It's not maybe. It's not providentially down the road someplace. It's what is required of me is going to be much greater. And it is going to be a lot sterner, a lot stricter, a lot more work involved in it, and a lot more cost in the aspect of doing it. You know, I don't enjoy doing this. I really don't. Because it just opens up a whole menagerie of trouble for me. I walk out of that door and I can guarantee you that there is plans and things set already in motion because of what I have to say and hear to you and to me. Hallelujah. 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 I was sitting in a living room in a country when David Wilkerson was killed. I was in Africa. And I got the news somehow, and I went down. I was so grieved in my soul. You know what the scripture that says, "Oh, how the mighty have fallen." Hallelujah. You see, I knew David Wilkerson, not personally in a manner of camaraderie, but I knew of the time when I was involved with Brother Duseal and Brother Clay Sonmore, and there was an opportunity that we were trying to reach Brother Wilkerson. Hallelujah. With the message that we have and the fact of the end time, because you see, Brother Wilkerson was called as an end time prophet to an end time people. Hello? But he could never make the transition. He could never get out of that position into the revelation of it. There had been another group of people at some point in time that had called themselves the Sons of God people with a Sons of God message. And they were out of order. They were in sin and doing all kinds of diabolical stuff. And he associated us with him. Hallelujah. You would think a prophet would have more discernment, but let me tell you something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know what? The devil didn't care, because he knew of the unction, the anointing that was on Brother Wilkerson's life, and he couldn't take the chance that that man would come to some point at some place and determine and turn around and begin to move in a way that was contrary to what he was doing. Hello? Hallelujah. It wasn't no accident, by the way. It wasn't no accident. Wasn't. Devil killed him. Hallelujah. Devil killed him. Why? Because he wasn't under the umbrella covering of the word that God was going to bring to him that would give him a covering by which he would be able to stand against that type of intrusion. But he had a calling. He had an election. That's the only thing the devil needed in order to do what the devil wanted to do. And he did it. And I was sitting in the living room grieving. And you know what happened? The devil comes into the living room. Huh? Devil comes into the living room. And I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you what happened. Devil comes into the room and he says, "If you don't stop and desist what you're doing, what I did to Brother Wilkerson, I will do to you." Hello? Are you listening to me? I didn't make these things up. These are experiences. These are not just experiences. These are reality things. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you think I just get up and start rebuking the devil and kicking and whatnot? You know, I couldn't even get out of my chair. Hallelujah. And by the time I moved, he was gone. Hello? I got down and I got very serious about it. Hello? Maybe you would have just rose up and just rebuked the pants off of him. I don't know. Hallelujah. Knocked him right out of the room and left his shoes standing there. I don't know. Hallelujah. But I know that it caused me to pause. It caused me to ponder. It caused me to meditate. It caused me to begin to look at my own life. Only trouble is I didn't look hard enough. Hello? Hallelujah. I didn't look hard enough. Hello? And it wasn't something that I did on a continuum. Hello? I wouldn't be in some of the trouble I'm in now had I looked at it a little harder. Had I done a little more self-examination. Hallelujah. You know, it says that when we break bread together, when we drink of the anointing and the wine of the Spirit together, it says, let every man what? Examine himself. I have a responsibility to leave this meeting. I have a responsibility to get into my closet. I have a responsibility to get on my face before God and say, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man. I am a wretched man. And long as I have that revelation, I will always, 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 always know the need that I have for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Keep me in that position of wretchedness. Keep me in that position of humility. Oh, God, help me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says that in the end time, there's going to come a great falling away. Brethren, we're not talking about the outer court church. We're not talking about the outer court church. Do you hear me? That scripture is not referring to the outer court church. That scripture is referring to the holy place people. A people that have had the word committed to them for a particular reason, for a particular purpose. And that word was designed to change you into the nature of God. One time I was in a meeting and I was sharing this word, and you know the people, when I shared it, they got up out of their chair and they shouted and they gave me a standing ovation. They weren't talking to me. They were acknowledging the word of God. They had never heard it in their life. We sit like people with glue on our seats. Hallelujah. 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 I suppose I should read a verse. It says in verse 20, and when he had demanded, chapter 7, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Hallelujah. Neither say, lo here or lo there, for behold, what? The kingdom of God is where? Where? Where is the kingdom of God, Brother Tuvuma? Huh? It's in you. It's in your wife. It's in this young lady. It's in this young man. It's in this young man. It's in that little boy if he knows the blood of Jesus Christ. It's in this little lady here if she knows the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to get the blood into my children. I want to get the Holy Spirit into my children. I want to teach my children the foundation of overcoming. I want to teach them the foundations of death to self. I want to teach them the reality of what it means to walk and talk with God. Oh yeah, we're going to walk and talk with God. We're going to be the man. Oh yes, we're going to walk and talk with God. We're going to be the men, the women of God. Huh? No, it's a low place. It's a low down place. It's called dolos. Dolos. That he that wants to be gay, what? The least. Not servant. Not servant. Servant has some rights. Servant has some position. Servant has yet some choice. It says slaves. Slave. Slave has no rights, no liberty, no nothing. It is given to him by virtue of the master. And he waits intuitively with a sense of expectation. But you know what? There came a time when servitude and slavehood could come to an end. But the servant who wanted to stay had to do what? What did he have to do? He had to put his ear on the doorpost, right? That was his right ear? Huh? His right ear. The devil got the left ear. Oh yes, you get a man with a deal in his ear, and you got a man who's hearing devil. Oh yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Left is devil, right is God. Left is flesh, right is spirit. Hallelujah. He bars his right ear. What's that mean? He's listening attentively. He's listening with much rapt attention to hear the master voice. In the middle of the night when he's asleep, the master can say, Oh, servant! And he hears the master and he jumps out of his bed and he runs. Hello? Hallelujah. Samuel, little young man, 5 years old. How old is your young man? 2. Well, 3. Yeah. I always have to ask my wife too. Hallelujah. She remembers vividly. Hallelujah. Samuel, a little lad of 5 years old. Do we got any 5 years old here? Huh? Do we have any 5 year olds? Do we have any 5 year olds? Can I see hands of 5 year olds? Huh? Are you teaching your 5 year old how to hear God? Okay, yes. You have some 5 year olds. Are you teaching them how to hear God? Huh? Are you teaching him to listen attentively? Because when the Lord spoke to Samuel, he didn't roll over and say, oh, I don't want to get out of my bed. Huh? He jumped out of his bed. It's not a matter of just teaching them to listen. It's to teaching them how to respond. Teach your children how to respond. Hello, you know I had to tell my children I'm sorry. You know I had to apologize to my children. Hallelujah. In different situations, in different circumstances. I say, son, I moved out of anger. I moved out of belligerence and irritation and frustration. And I'm so terribly sorry. What you did was wrong, but what I did compounded your wrongness. Hallelujah. I have to humble myself. And you don't think that's not hard to do? Huh? Hallelujah. Oh, you're dad. You're right. You're the supreme authority. Hello? But how am I going to teach my children to repent if I'm not willing to repent to my children if I wrong them? And if I discipline my children in anger? Hello? I have to repent for disciplining them. Not for what they did because it was wrong, but for the way that I responded and the thing that I did. Does that mean I don't discipline them? Absolutely not. But I am to discipline them without anger. And I can apply the Bible just as effectively with no anger as I could with anger. Better. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll probably get in a lot of trouble for this, but I figure I have a history. I figure I have experience. 7 children and 21 grandchildren. I'm very involved with all of them. Hello? And you know, there's another thing. I want to get some of these young people who are of an age involved in the missions and what we are doing. Hallelujah. I want to get them involved. There are so many people around the globe. I want to get them, so many young people around the globe who want to be involved. I don't have a platform on which I can get them involved. Nor can I raise the interest in the parents to allow their children. Oh, they got school and they got this and that and that and this and this and this and that and that and that. What is the expectation of life now? What is it? 75? Huh? What is it? 40? 45? Did he say 45? Did I hear him say 45? Boy, you kids are in trouble. Some of you won't even be out of school by then. And believe you me, I am not in opposition to education. I really am not. But if you're going to university school, I am telling you it's diabolic in its conception. It's diabolic in its overshadowing. It's diabolic with its intention at the end of the day. I have never seen a young person come out of university that was filled with the Spirit, that was full of the Holy Ghost and blood of Jesus Christ on fire for God. I haven't seen it. And I've been all over the world. That doesn't mean there aren't some, but they are few and far between. They come out lukewarm. Oh, I'm still a Christian. Yeah, but you're not hot and you're not cold. You're striving to be excellent in that position. Good, praise God, if that's where you're supposed to be. But by God, make sure that's where you're supposed to be. You have a responsibility to hear from God. Oh, I'm going to real get in trouble for that one. Oh, we can't go anywhere without education. That's not true. That's a lie out of hell. I know several people are in high position who have no formal university degree. And they shouldn't be there. And you know why they're there? Because God honored their commitment and moved them and moved them and moved them and moved them until they are the boss. When there should be no boss. Hello? So don't tell me it doesn't work, because I've seen it work. Hello? Hallelujah. Well, I suppose if you want to drive a Mercedes or a Lexus or a Cadillac or some highfalutin thing like that, or if you want to live in a 5-room, 6-room, 7-room, 7-story mansion, then you need your education. Hallelujah. But you know what? If I need a 5-story mansion, it's going to be a place for the body of Christ. It's going to be a center of activity. Hallelujah. For the sake of... you know, there was a man called Mueller. You ever heard George Mueller? You live in London, you live in England. You should know George Mueller, right? Do you know George Mueller? Huh? Do you know him? How many of you know him? Oh my goodness, you live and you don't even know your relatives. You have a spiritual heritage. You come from a spiritual family. You know, I have in my lineage, I have men like C.T. Studs. I have Reese Howells. I have Dwight L. Moody. Huh? Hello? What was he? Hudson Taylor. You know, they're all in my lineage. They're all in my lineage. They're part of my family. Not my natural family. Hello? And you know, when I was a young Christian growing up, I could not get enough of those books. There was a man called Brother Andrews. How many of you know about Brother Andrews? See, your children, you should be telling your children, not teaching them Nigerian history, not teaching them English history. You should be teaching them heritage that they have in the aspect of many great men. Do they know who Tyndale is? Huh?
Yes.
Do they know who Tyndale is? Well, that's good. That's a good start. Huh? Hallelujah. And you know, Reese Howells, C.T. Studd, and some of those other men. What was the guy who won the Olympics? What was his name? Huh? Yes. He gave it all up, didn't he? You know, C.T. Studd was a millionaire. Do you know that? You know, he gave his money away. Why? He wanted to go out there in the bush. And you know what? He died out there somewhere. David Livingstone. Of course, you all know David Livingstone, right? They teach him in the English school, don't they? Do they? Huh? Yeah. But they don't tell the truth about him. They don't tell what he was doing in there. And they don't know what... You know what? They don't even talk about his abject disgust for slave traders. You know, they were afraid of him. Do you know that? The slave traders. Whereas he carried no gun, but they were afraid of him. And there was a story about him coming on. There was some slave traders that were coming down out of Central Africa somewhere, and they heard about David Livingstone. They set all their slaves loose and they ran. Hallelujah. Well, would they run from you? Would they run from me? Hello? Why would they run from a man with David Livingstone who does not have the word that I have? Because of his dedication, his consecration, his position of sanctification, and the fervor with which he served God. Hello? Hallelujah. There was one of those people of your English variety of people. Hallelujah. You know, and I've said it before, when God started the group here in England, in London, we came, how many years ago? 25 years ago? 30 years? Huh? There were just 4 people, but we made it a point going to Africa and coming back to come through England to stop and to minister to them. Hello? Why? Because there was a seed that God wanted to plant for a particular reason. You know, most of you are here because of virtue of what England did with regards to Nigeria. However bad it may have been, they give you an opportunity to grow, to advance, to be able to come here. Why? So you could plant your flag of heritage here? No. He had a debt to pay to the English blood that was shed on the continent of Africa, and you are the repayment. The word that has been given to you is a repayment, and you're not doing anything, are you? Oh, you meet every now and then, you have your conferences, but are you changing? Are you changing? Are you changing? Are you advancing in the kingdom? Are you overcoming? Are you putting down your tribal positions of heritage and all of the responsibilities that's put on you for marriage and children and life and living? And do you pay tribute to your ancestors and all of the things that go into that arena? Hallelujah. Are you broadcasting a message of freedom and liberty? Are you broadcasting a message that I am no longer Nigerian, but I am the household of faith? Hallelujah. Huh? Hallelujah. And you know, you go to a wedding or you go to a funeral and all that traditional garbage is going on. Hello? And you sit there and you're silent. You're silent. You're saying, oh, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I don't want to stir up any water. I don't want to move around and muddy the water. How? My God, brother, you have been given a word. And the people you are going to are the people that you are supposed to be broadcasting the position of liberty. By this they will know that I am God. Because what? They are one with me and I am one with them. They are not of this world. I don't even believe that we as a people have the cognizant reality of what it means to be born again. Hello? I was an Asbil once. Once. But that Asbil man died. Hello? He died. He got buried in baptism with Christ. You know, that old man went down. You know, sometimes he wants to come up mummified out of the grave. And he wants to impose upon me his idea of my inheritance. You're an Asbil. No, I'm not. I'm not an Asbil. You're an American. No, I'm not. Hallelujah. No, I'm not an American. Hello? Hallelujah. I'm shedding it. I'm shedding it like an old garment. I'm shedding it like an old clothes. Hello? And if you don't think that doesn't cause me trouble, you're mistaken. You know, my parents did not understand my radical theology. I can guarantee you, as they passed over, they now understand it. And I can guarantee you they are in that great cloud of witnesses and they're cheering me on. You know, my mother has been so instrumental in my life, more so after she died than when she was alive. Hello? She has saved me from so many troubles. I remember one time I was in a car and I had been traveling and I pulled over into a rest stop and I was going to sleep for a couple of hours and I laid my head down and I began to nod off and all of a sudden, you know how a mother will call a child? And I had a nickname, which I'm not going to tell you. And she said, she called that nickname. And she called it the way only my mother would call it. And when she called it, I knew it was serious. I was in trouble. It was the same way she used to address me when I was really in trouble. Hallelujah. And she called that name. And she says, quick, get up, get out of here. Hallelujah. I don't know what it was. I just got up quick, started the car, and started down the road. I didn't ask questions about it. I just say, thank you, Mom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So she's there. She's there in that great cloud of witnesses. And she's looking at me and says, you know, Bert, there's something about Thrillkill. That's one of my relatives. There's something about Aylesbury. That's another aspect of my relatives. And it's this and this and this and this. And you need to overcome it. You need to show me how to do it. And you need to change so that I can be changed with you. Hello, it says, without us, they cannot be made perfect. Hallelujah. If I go down the same road as every other person in my family, what am I doing? I am disappointing God, I'm disappointing them, and I am losing out with regards to my inheritance. I am losing it, losing it, losing it. And if you don't think you cannot lose your inheritance, you are mistaken. Hallelujah. Go to that Revelations, where it is the fifth church. He says, the fifth church is indicative of the fifth altar, the golden altar of incense. Brethren, I want to tell you something. There's two altars in the holy place, the two altars in the two actual altars in the tabernacle. One is at the gate. It cannot be replicated. It cannot be duplicated. It can just be accepted by virtue of substitution. I can read by virtue of what He did to consecrate it and to sanctify it. Hello? That is not so with that golden altar of incense. That is a personal offer. It's an offer that is made to be duplicated. And I duplicate it by my acquisitions to it. I present my soul as a living offering. Loose! I have to sanctify. He made the way. He made the way. Without Him making the way, I would not have that opportunity. I would not have that liberty. I would not have that privilege. Hello? But I have to do it. I have to do it. Hallelujah. I have to do it. Praise the Lord. Are you young people hearing me? Huh? Are you really hearing me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? You have a responsibility. You cannot behave like your parents have behaved if they're behaving wrongly. If they're behaving rightly, walk in their shoe steps. Follow their leading. Hallelujah. But there is a higher position. There is a higher place that is being offered to you, and you don't have to wait till you get old to get into that position after trouble and tribulation. Quite frankly, I do not believe we have the time. Hallelujah. I don't know how many of you have been watching the events of the United States, but the United States is imploding upon itself. It's self-destructive. Did you know that? And it's not going to be too long in the future till that it comes down into a shambles. And when it comes down into a shambles, it's going to have a global catastrophe effect. Hallelujah. Because it says the merchants stood afar off and lamented. Hello! Hallelujah. And they're standing afar off because they don't want to be a part of that destruction. But I'm telling you something. Great tribulation is coming to this world. And the only thing that is going to stop it is the people of God that has been called to an ark position with Him. What do you think they call it? An ark of the covenant? An ark of the covenant is a position or a place of rescue. A position, a place of safety, a sanctuary. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, Brother Shojoki was drawing this picture. God talks through the mind, he was saying. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. But when I looked at this, I didn't see the scribbling. Huh? I saw an eagle. I saw an eagle. You know, he made the mention of it, but he didn't really elaborate on it. You know, an eagle not only looks for rough weather, he looks for rough weather. And you know an eagle, when he finds it, he doesn't fly away from it. He flies right into it. He flies right into it. Trouble is the eagle's vehicle of propulsion. When he flies into it, he hits those currents and it just lifts him up higher and higher and higher. I don't know that they even know how high the eagle can go. And you know, the Bible calls it, Bill Bitton wrote an article called, Eagle Saints Arise. Hallelujah. And it says that the woman, it says she was given what? Two great wings of an eagle. Oh, she's going to have bird-like wings and she's just going to fly away. No. I saw the mind. Yes. But you know, I see this part here as wings. Huh? I see it as wings. Because as God comes into my mind, as God begins to reveal His revelation, I begin to get excited about it. I begin to desire something other than what I have. I begin to think about this thing of God, this omnipotent position, this omnipresent thing and the aspects of it. And I begin to talk to my emotions, and my emotions get excited about it. Hallelujah. And it begins to propel me. Those wings begin to work. Hallelujah. And it begins to work, but this is an eagle man. This is not an eagle bird. So he has will that gives the strength into his feet to walk what he needs to walk. Hallelujah. You want practicality. And you could just say, this is spirit and this is word. Or this is spirit and this is word. Hello? Two great wings of an eagle where it says that she has put into a place of sanctuary. You have a responsibility to determine a sanctuary for the church that is yet to be down here in a realm to be persecuted. You have a responsibility. Not off by there somewhere, isolated under your own self. Hello? The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of the self. If you're out there by yourself, all by your little lonesome, or just me and him and them and us, no more. You're in trouble. Because God is moving in a new way. Hallelujah. He has recognized the individual position of personality and relationship in the past, but there are coming a time when we are now at that threshold where He will no longer provide the covering necessary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm not just talking about yourself, I'm talking about me also. Hallelujah. You know, when we first started ministering, there were just three of us in this work. There was three of us, basically. Four of us, maybe. There was Brother Jaseel. There was Brother George. Now, I'm talking from the United States. There's more than that in the world, I'm sure. There was just me, Brother Jaseel, Brother George, and Brother Mark came in at a later date and was very much a part of the activity. And you know, there wasn't a body, there wasn't a building, there wasn't an organization, there wasn't anybody we could go to. We just had each other. And we had to make decisions on the basis of what it was that we were involved in and our lifestyles and the things that were going on. And you don't think that that doesn't breed or form or nurture a character of independence in some respect or another? Hello? And God is now telling me you have to put all of that aside. You know, Brother Takuma, that is not easy to do. I have formed habitual patterns of operation. I have formed habitual patterns of movement. And I have certain people that I want to talk to. Hello? But God says, no more, no more, no more, no more, no more, no more! Hallelujah. He made it very clear to me, no more! Hallelujah. So I have to broaden the scope. And you know, some people are just talkers. They want to talk you to death. They just want to talk you and talk you to death. They want to look at it from this point. They want to look at it at this point. And I'm sitting over there. Just go, 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 go. And my feet want to run. Hallelujah. But I have to sit. I have to pray. I have to look to God. I say, God, why have you put me here? And you know what? He says, it's for your benefit. And I have to be happy with it. Hallelujah. Brethren, we're living in a critical time. We're living in we are at critical mass. We are at critical mass as a people concerning the word that we have. We are at critical mass. Hallelujah. You know, when you're at critical mass, you don't sit around and think about it. You have to do something. Hello? You have to do something. I don't know what they do, but they have to do something. They start flooding the chambers. They start doing this. They start doing that. They start doing this. And you know, the signs of the time are all around you as a people. Hello? In your own land of Nigeria. In the United States. In Europe, and all of the atrocities and the things that are going on. It's a sign. It's a witness. We do not have much time. Oh, hallelujah. But we have enough time yet to do what needs to be done. Our God would not be warning us. Hallelujah. And one other thing I want to share with you is what the Lord told me. In August of, I think I've shared it here before, but I'm going to share it again. In August of 2012, I just got home from Africa. And I had an experience before I left of this sense of grief, deep abiding grief that came over me. And I really didn't know or understand what it was, except that I thought, well, maybe I'm not coming back. Maybe I won't be able to see my family again. You know, my wife wasn't traveling with me at that particular time. And if you don't think if that isn't a major concern when I go out, you're mistaken. Hallelujah. Because quite frankly, I don't know. What I do know is what is going on in the United States may prohibit me at some point of time being able to get back there. Hello? Hallelujah. I don't take it for granted. I'm telling you, I don't take it for granted. I had this feeling of grief upon me, and I began to pray, and God did not tell me what it was. After about 3 days, it dissipated. But I was stuck right there, you understand. I'm thinking about it. I'm asking God, what is this thing? When I come back home, I got home safe. Everything was fine, hunky-dory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But as I was sitting at the table one morning and I was reading in the paper, I was watching on the internet or something, I was reading about the story of Benghazi. And it wasn't so much what happened that was so grievous to me. It was that we did nothing. We did nothing. And you know what? I wasn't necessarily just thinking about the United States. I was thinking about the Holy Place Church.
Hallelujah.
And that grief that I had felt came back on me. I cannot tell you, it was so grievous it pained me. I had pain in my body because of it. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, it is the knelling of a bell that tolled the death of a nation. Now, how would you interpret that? How would you interpret that? And do you think that that word was just for me? Or do you think that it is an alarm? If God told you something was dead, that means it's dead. In God's mind, it's dead. What you see is an illusion. What you are watching now are like the jerking and the spasmodics of the body. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what is my responsibility? My responsibility is to find God.
Amen.
To find God. To rend my heart, not my garments. Not go into theological conjecture. Not go into theological and doctrinal subjection. But to seek God. Hallelujah. As though my life depends on it. Because brethren, it does. Hallelujah. I just told somebody who was thinking about moving to the United States, I said, brother, if I were you, I would not even consider it. And if you are considering it, I wouldn't do it unless I had a word from God and it was confirmed by supernatural divine intervention in the mouths of two or three witnesses.
Amen.
Loose! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I have a concern, not just for me, but for my family. You understand that? Hallelujah. And for the brethren. Hello? I have a concern and I have a responsibility to pray, to intercede, and to move in accordance to the will of God concerning them and giving me a plan, a strategy as to what can be done that they're not caught unawares. Do you hear me? Whether they're there or whether they're somewhere else, that they are not caught unawares. Hallelujah. And if you haven't been watching what's been happening in Europe, hello? Hello? Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. You know, Russia is moving. It was a test plot. It was a laboratory experiment. Hello? Hallelujah. And you know, we have brethren in Czech. We have brethren up there in Moravia, which is just across from the border of Poland. You know, Ukraine sits next to Poland. Poland sits next to Czech Republic. It's like a hop, skip, and a jump. Hello? And if you don't think that Putin does not have it in his mind, hello? You don't think he does not have it in his mind to reestablish the borders of the Soviet Union. You are mistaken. It's in the Scripture. Isn't it in the Bible? Hello? Ask the answer man over there. He will tell you. Hallelujah. Amen. That's his job. Hallelujah. Ask the man. It is part of the plan. It was a test. He was pushing to see how much he could push. Hello? Hallelujah. And the only reason I believe he pulled back is because of prayer and intercession. You know, we have a little fellowship in the Ukraine. Brother, if you want to go someplace, that's where you should go. They are the most in jeopardy. Hallelujah. We have a little fellowship there. And we were praying night and day. And I was praying for the Czech brethren. Oh God, let them wake up. Let them understand. Let them know what is going on. Father, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hello? And when you begin to see these things, don't just sit back and say, oh my, look what the Russians are doing. Pray for the people of God. Pray for yourselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know the thing that this man and the Boko Haram did just here recently over there in they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. Do you hear me? They are not going to stop. The only thing that is going to stop them is the blood of Jesus Christ, the calling in the election upon your life, and the reality of the message that you have to be an ark people. That's the only thing that's going to stop them. They can bring in all kinds of modern sophisticated weaponry. They can bring in all of the intelligence that they want. They can bring in the best special forces units. They are not going to stop the scourge of water that's coming out of the mouth of the dragon. The only thing that's going to stop them is you and the Word of God. It was a two-witness company. That's what's going to stop it. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. And if you don't hear me, for God's sake, read the newspaper. Hallelujah. You know, I was in a conference down in Port Harcourt, 3 years ago? Hallelujah. And God said He was sending civil war to chastise the church. Why? Because they were not doing... Wasn't that what they said? Am I making this up? He said, I'm going to chastise you. I'm sending civil war into your country. You know, when I was there about 30 years ago, there was a prophecy. 30 years ago, do you hear me? In Nigeria, a prophecy. It was split from the north down to the south in a diagonal line. Hallelujah. 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 And you know something? The church in Nigeria was given an opportunity to do something in the aspect of that. Do you know that there was a plane load of all of the government of Nigeria, wasn't it? Huh? And they had all the heads of state, all the heads of the government in there, the army, the cabinet people, and it went down in a swamp. It killed the whole government. It wiped them out. Hallelujah. And the church just sat back and twiddled their thumbs. If the church would have got down on its knees at that time, hello? Hallelujah. Because there was a word that somebody brought with regards to that. I don't remember it in its entirety. But there was a position or a place that God was calling the church to intervene. But the church did not do it. Are we not going to do it this time? I was there when it happened. I read about it in the newspaper. I heard the words of prophecy with my own ears. I wasn't the one that prophesied it. Hallelujah. What are we going to do now? I think it's a serious time of deep, deep, deep soul searching. We all have to do. We're all going to be responsible for what it is that we do or we don't do. God bless you.